have. You're with Julian on the Brenner and a retro reviews on the show today of The Green Mile. Can you believe it? I've never watched The Green Mile. To be honest, I think I kind of pushed it away a bit. So I am of the Shawshank fraternity. Obviously, Frank Darabont's Shawshank Redemption is one of the most, well, I think on Internet Movie Database, it's the most loved film of all time. And everyone loves it, and I don't think I could sit through it again because it's probably, I don't know, 15 to 20 times I might have seen it. And so I should have jumped on board the Frank Darabont's follow-up, The Green Mile. But I don't know, something about the whole mouse thing and Mr. Tiddles, Save Mr. Tiddles, it kind of felt cloying. And I think with Tom Hanks involved, who I have loved in many films, but not as Forrest Gump, I kind of made this subconscious link between it being a very sort of cloying, PG, sentimental film and, you know, just a lesser retread of The Shawshank Redemption. It's not true to say that, but it certainly is a retread to a degree in certain ways of The Shawshank Redemption, given that it's another film set in a prison, given it's another film where there's a murderer and the murderer has someone arrive in the prison who is connected with the real murderer. There are lots of stylistic elements, including the ye olde time frame of when it's set. I think it's like Gus Van Sant with Good Will Hunting. You know, they had this massive hit film, even though The Shawshank was a latent hit film. It wasn't a hit film in the cinema when it came out, but it certainly was after that. I think the same thing happened with Gus Van Sant, came out with Good Will Hunting, and then he did it again, the same film with Sean Connery as a reclusive writer, and it was just a retread of the same film. This is actually a lot more interesting in its narrative distance from The Shawshank Redemption, but it's clear that studios won't give us another one of those Shawshanky films. This time around, Tom Hanks is a prison guard, I think around the 1930s, I think they mentioned the Depression, suffering from a very bad bladder infection, or I don't know if it's testicular cancer. And he looks after death row, and they call their death row the Green Mile. The new addition is Michael Clarke Duncan as John Coffey. John Coffey is one of the largest human beings you've ever seen on screen. It's weird, though, because they obviously play it up because he's 6'5" in real life, or was. He passed away, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. A much-loved man, and he ended up in a lot of other films after this with his very iconic voice. He's found with two young girls raped and murdered and sent to death row. And his demeanour and manner are very odd. He seems very, very gentle. Early on, we see that he has possible supernatural powers where he can remove Tom Hanks's ailment. And we see for over 3 hours, it's a very long film. I wouldn't have liked to have seen it in the cinema, but it was actually really good for home viewing because you kind of don't notice the more wayward scenes as much. It's kind of like you can go and make a cup of tea and it's, you know, you're not missing on like really laser focused stuff. Over the course of it, we get two villains in this are absolutely amazing. So we get Sam Rockwell, who's brilliant in everything, as Wild Bill Wharton, who comes to the prison as the most unmanageable prisoner on death row, consistently trying to attack guards and be wild. And he's a great villain, and so is I've got to look up the actual name of the guy because he's such a good villain. Percy. The guy that plays Percy plays one of the best villains, Doug Hutchinson. he's a guard as well, who's on death row, and he just wants to do the executions, and he brutalizes everything in his path, and he's just one of the vilest, slimiest, horriblest villains you'll ever see. So we get these two fantastic villains. Most of the other casts always look, they look like they just were guards that almost were cast in the Shawshank Redemption. But over the course of the story, Tom Hanks begins to understand that his new death row inmate is somebody that possesses an incredible ability to heal people. And we get the famous incident with a mouse where Percy stamps on one of the prisoner's pet mice, and he brings him back to life. And that leads to, there's spoilers in this because it's a 25-year-old film that's been seen by everyone. But there's the prison warden's wife is dying from a brain tumor, and that leads to the sort of like the denouement or final third of the film. It's a film that's been seen by everyone but me. I thought that it was mostly excellent. I do think it was a really, really good solid watch. I don't know that outside of Percy or the how can I keep forgetting this guy's name? Sam Rockwell. I don't know that any of the performances stood out, really. My fly's run down. I thought they were all perfunctory, and I think compared to the Shawshank Redemption, scene on scene, performance on performance, it isn't there, and narrative-wise, it isn't there. But I found that whole spirituality side of it actually really interesting. I thought they created this very interesting person in the John Coffey character who doesn't know really who he is or why he is like he is. I thought that was very sort of compelling and powerful and quite moving, and it's got really strong moving scenes. It's almost awkward because a lot of it is goofy PG, but then it's got these really horrific R-rated elements to it as well, where there's like violence and swearing and behavior that is more at home to a much harder prison drama, whereas I think Shawshank sort of balanced that out a bit more. I think some of the sort of guards' interaction and that like borders on the goofy. Also, I found some of the plot elements to be very implausible, and I didn't really understand them. I thought the whole breaking coffee out to save the wife routine, even though the moment was good, the whole surrounding probability and implausibility of it all was extremely odd. It did, and also once they started down that road of taking him to rescue someone out of the prison, it had this really caperish tone, which didn't really fit with the very painstaking, dour atmosphere that the movie had built up until that stage. I thought that was like the first like massive, I was like jolted a bit by how they would treat something like that. So and the tonal nature of the film would just shift to being like a caper and it being a bit all goofy, and it just was a bit implausible. And also there are other elements, like there's a moment in it where he transfers the pain of others into himself and then dissipates them out to the world, and there's a moment where he actually takes down the movie's two villains by expelling this brain tumor into the Percy, the prison guard that has tortured everyone. And then Percy shoots dead the Sam Rockwell character. And I just thought, none of that makes any sense. I mean, that's not who the character of the coffee that's presented throughout the whole film is. That he would then try and murder two people? Or at least literally murder another person who was already on death row anyway. And I thought that whole element of Sam Rockwell actually being the murderer was, like, that was the one inartistic part of Shawshank, which I've long come to terms with, which was that he, I went, the first time I watched Shawshank Redemption, I got really annoyed at it because I wanted Tim Robbins to be guilty because I felt that the story had much more power when he was guilty. And when it came through, actually, he's not guilty at all. I kind of struggled with that. And then when there was the coincidence of the guy that knew arriving in the prison, that was the one part of Shawshank that I did struggle with. Although the fact that it has such a strong last third after that was worth it. But here, I've kind of felt like, you know, what are the chances of the actual murderer ending up on the same death row a few meters away from John Coffey, who was convicted of the murder? I found that to be a bit incredulous. And I found the fact that he would then kill him when he was like this angel from above. But overall, it is a wonderful home watch. Not as compelling in any way as The Shawshank Redemption, but it does have some really powerhouse moments that are spotted throughout the whole movie. I'll give it a solid 8 out of 10 for The Green Mile.